Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 471, October 6, 2020. 87 degrees was the high on this day. That occurred in 2007, and it was as chilly as 25 degrees in 1873.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic, with Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
I want to delay getting to Project Veritas, Rook, in case Leiden gets back to us.
I'll let you know.
In the meantime, speaking of heat, as warm as 87 degrees on this day in 07, we now have research that shows climate change has a harsher effect on people of color. So the temperature is racist.
Okay.
Rising temperatures are widening the racial achievement gap in U.S. schools. This is in today's Star Tribune. It's the always reliable New York Times providing us this. Rising temperatures are widening the racial achievement gap in U.S. schools, new research suggests, offering the latest evidence that the burdens of climate change fall disproportionately on people of color. Okay. In a paper published Monday in the journal Nature Human Behavior, researchers found that students perform worse on standardized tests for every additional day of 80 degrees or higher, even after controlling for other factors. Those effects held across 58 countries, suggesting a fundamental link between heat and reduced learning. Okay. But when the researchers look specifically at the U.S. using more granular data to break down the effect on test scores by race, they found something surprising. The detrimental impact of heat seemed to affect only black and Hispanic students. R. Ji-Sung Park, the paper's lead author and an assistant professor of public policy at UCLA, said the gap seemed to reflect the fact that minority students are less likely to have air conditioning at school or at home. Okay. Being exposed to higher temperatures appears to take a gradual and cumulative toll on those students' ability to absorb their lessons. He said, it's like a thousand little cuts to your ability to focus and concentrate and learn, Park said. The findings are the newest addition to a body of research showing that climate change in general and rising temperatures in particular have a greater effect on minorities.
I would stop you right there.
Yeah.
What does climate change have to do with this? This has to do with air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. A study published in January found that a history of redlining, the long discredited policy of marking minority neighborhoods as risky places for banks to lend money, and the underinvestment that goes along with it has left many black neighborhoods with more paved areas and fewer trees. As a result, those neighborhoods were hotter than their white counterparts, leading to more cases of heat-related illnesses. We talked about the trees a couple of weeks ago. Let me stop right there. First of all, redlining doesn't exist anymore. And two, there's nothing to stop anyone from planting a tree. And three, if there's underinvestment in so-called poor neighborhoods, why is there so much pavement? Wouldn't pavement go hand in hand with an investment of some kind?
They say that
an underinvestment that goes along with it has left many black neighborhoods with more paved areas and fewer trees. Well, if there's underinvestment, why was it getting paved?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
If there's lack of investment in poor neighborhoods, why are we paving them? This makes no sense. In June, research published in JAMA Network Open showed that pregnant women exposed to high temperatures or air pollution are likely to have children who are premature, underweight, or stillborn, and African-American moms and babies are harmed at a much higher rate than the population at large. The link between heat and education has become an important part of the story. I can't read this whole thing because it makes me throw up in my mouth. Researchers separated. We're measuring school days by temperature. And if it's warm out, we are managing to say that that disproportionately affects students of color. I don't know what to say to that. Do schools have air conditioning? I have no idea. I never went to a school that had air conditioning.
Same here.
So I have no idea. I never had air conditioning in my house until 13 years ago.
You should keep reading because there is something interesting. They found students who experienced more school days of 80 degrees or hotter in the years before their test fared worse than their counterparts at the same school district who took the test in years with fewer hot days. But that connection was only true for Black and Hispanics, for students with lower family income. Now listen to this. Mm-hmm. For white students as a group, there was no statistically significant effect. In parentheses, it says, the data did not allow the researchers to look at race and income together, preventing them from determining the effect of heat exposure on test scores for more specific groups such as low-income white students. Mm-hmm. So low-income white students weren't even part of the study.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
There is desperation, apparently even in science, if this can be considered science. There is desperation to continue to be so condescending to people of color. I think it's insidious. I've talked about it many times. In addition to the many excuses we dream up for the behavior of Black children, be it their grades or their cultural behavior, we are now adding to that list that your test score is not your fault. It happened to be 83 degrees that day, and your school didn't have air conditioning. This can't possibly work as a template for a functioning society. If we continue to come up with reasons and excuses why kids might be doing poorly in school, rather than say, hit the books, kid, we got no shot. There's just no shot. And this tree pavement thing is absolute B as in B, S as in S. Why in the hell is there pavement if there's no investment? Somebody was in there investing to put pavement in. And it's such a vague concept. I think we're supposed to imagine poor neighborhoods with acres of cracked pavement with weeds growing through them, and thus more heat exposure because that pavement is taking up where the trees might have been. Well, then go plant some damn trees.
You've heard of the heat island effect.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Like it, hotter in the metro area than it is in the outskirts.
Yeah, I got news for you. I don't care what race you are. If it's 98 degrees in the Twin Cities, it's going to feel a hell of a lot cooler in Grand Marais. So there's nothing anybody can do about it. Climate has always changed. I don't know that we've ever attached to the changes some significant determination that that's somehow impacting learning. We are in a desperate race to, I don't know what, continue to destroy ourselves, I guess.
Right. Commit suicide.
Implosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could go on and on talking about different social dynamics that disproportionately impact communities of color, said McTeer Tony, who is now National Field Director for Moms Clean Air Force, an advocacy group. For every single one of them, we can make a link to climate. So now we're linking behavior to the climate change, forgetting that the climate has always changed and always will.
It's the dumbing down of society is what this is.
And the same people who say, well, they don't have people of less means don't have air conditioning, those are the same people that complain about air conditioning. It uses too much energy.
Right, right.
Oh, there's a good one.
Well, you can't win. You just can't win.
I hadn't thought about that. You're right.
Show me a neighborhood in the Twin Cities that doesn't have enough trees. I'll buy the trees.
Yeah.
Or that it's neglected. The inner cities, at least Minneapolis and St. Paul, downtown St. Paul, you got a beautiful bike lane. They just added a whole half a street dedicated to that.
They're spending money.
Well, plant some trees. Instead of cutting them down to increase sidewalk and bicycle use. Don't cut down the trees. If trees are so important, then let's not get rid of them. But you're dealing with a mentality here that is so far gone that there's no reasoning with these people. There's no reasoning with these researchers who continue to get grant money to come up with this BS.
I think that argument came up with the Southwest rail line, did it not? Cutting down trees to make room for the rail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I seem to remember something about that.
That was, yeah, right, some windmilling.
Heat exposure explains roughly 5% of the racial achievement gap. We don't know that.
No.
That's an ass statistic.
Prove it.
It's an ass statistic.
There's an incredibly lengthy article involving all this from September 2nd.
Yep.
And it's based around Minneapolis. It's a National Geographic article.
Talking about the trees and the pavement?
Yeah. And boy, it's a little in-depth. You'd have to read it.
It's unfair, Joe, to compare the heat island of Minneapolis-St. Paul to Grand Marais. I think you'd be a better comparison would be Minneapolis-St. Paul compared to something close by, like Stillwater. You know what
fine,
I mean?
Fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I buy the heat island effect. That's just part of urban living in America.
But it doesn't. Okay, but that's science. That's just a
what
fact.
Is science?
That's
what is
a fact that, yes, in the concrete asphalt jungle, it might be a little bit warmer. Yeah. Out in the suburbs, it's going to be cooler. That's not because of anything we've done.
I just want to know who paved Paradise and put up a parking lot in the poor neighborhoods.
Right. Oh, Joni.
If there's no investment, it's a serious question. If there's no investment in poor neighborhoods of color, why is there pavement? What was going on there that at some point in history there was investment? What, do we just have vast acreage of abandoned parking lots? I don't understand where the pavement comes from. Why there's more pavement. Is there more pavement in North Minneapolis than there is along Minnehaha Parkway?
Most likely.
Well, in what sense?
But there's also more pavement, like, say, in other ports. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good comparison either.
Jeff. Okay, but that the paved parkway on both sides of the river, Mississippi River Boulevard and the parkway, are surrounded by trees. Mm-hmm. That pavement butts up to a bunch of trees.
Yeah, I don't know if that's not.
No, it doesn't work? I'm just kind of rolling it out there to see what happens.
Well, I'm not. I can drive through North Minneapolis, and I bet you I would not notice a significant lack of trees.
That I would 100% agree with. Yes, absolutely.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I guess we're not going to be happy until we allow ourselves to be controlled by a government that will regard us only through the lens of restricting how we act and behave based on what that can accomplish to the benefit of the climate, which is preposterous. Man is not bigger than nature. Human. Mm-hmm. We're smaller than nature. You could stop the use of every bit of fossil fuel tomorrow, and that is not going to change a thing in the climate. You might have a clearer day in Los Angeles or even a clearer day here, but it ain't going to stop a hurricane or a tornado or rainfall or whatever.
Lightning strike?
Yeah, lightning strikes. But I just thought, oh, my word. I read that, and I just thought, I have to comment on this. This cannot go unchallenged. This is just utter nonsense. Utter nonsense that the way you behave in school is affected by the heat, and that heat disproportionately affects students of color.
I'm going to need to see a lot of proof on that, a lot of proof.
And you're saying, Kenny, they didn't even take white students of marginalized incomes into account in the study.
Right, so they're comparing poor black students to...
Poor black students.
or to wealthy white students.
Yeah.
Comparing Patrick Henry to Hopkins.
Right.
Or whatever, you know, pick your school of choice. South compared to Burnsville.
Compare poor black students to poor white students, you probably get the same statistical outcome.
Yeah. Well, of course you would. I remember, like you, I had a high school that wasn't air conditioned. Guess what? We got jack done when it was 90 degrees because everybody was so GD miserable.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't even dispute that it would be tough sitting in school on a 90 degree day in an unair conditioned schoolroom with presumably the windows open. That can be, that's a pain in the butt.
Awful.
But it's a pain in the butt for everybody, not just black kids.
No.
Yeah. What the hell? Oh, man. It's just amazing.
All we need reparations is what we need, Such.
No, we don't.
Throw out test scores. Throw out SATs. ACTs.
How is everybody today in GL?
Well, just fine.
Guys, you go ahead first. You go right ahead.
John, I saw an interesting film of Dylan playing the guitar.
Yes.
I'm looking at it right now, but there's no sound. I can't listen. I haven't heard it yet, but he looks...
Yeah. Making guitar faces. That's always fun to see.
Yeah.
Love seeing that.
Guitar faces are cool. Yeah. I had to beg John to do guitar faces at the fair. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
And Joe, just to answer your question, I'm doing fantastic today.
Yep.
My wife is celebrating her birthday, and I have a Tres Leches cake from Cafe Latte, and I don't know what we're going to have for dinner yet.
Honest to God, help me.
But
what kind of cake? What kind of cake is that?
Tres Leches is like
three
creams.
Uh huh.
And it's if you have not, it's probably the best cake you'll ever have in your life.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Other than the Ouellette strawberry souffle.
Did you go down to the girls' underwear pants store today and pick her out a couple of pairs?
Did you get a new outfit?
I got her.
Just buy those for yourself.
Because by the time she will have listened to this, I bought her some cocktail glasses that are in the shape of a bird for a foo-foo drink. I got her a pair of leggings.
Will you foghorn yourself,
I got
please?
Her a black turtleneck.
Hit the foghorn, please. What? Double Duluth foghorn.
All right, well, let me find out where he's got. Oh, here we go. Come on. And then, okay, how about this? My mom is a calligrapher, so I had her calligraph the chorus from You're in My Heart, You're in My Soul, You Be My Breath, Should I Grow Old.
Jesus.
And I'm gonna be hitting the high one tonight.
Foghorn again.
I did too. Matthew. I did too. Written by R. Stewart. I take possession of it today. Man. She's gonna be eating peanuts right out of my hand, guys. This is just
Do you live in Garage Logic, or are you over? Did you move over to Liberal Lakes or Euphoria?
No, I'm the soft side of Garage Logic.
Boy,
I'm on the
you're the
soft,
mushy side.
This is how brilliant your wife is, Matthew, because you think she's going to be eating out of your hands all the while. Your set is up there on the shelf, and you're eating out of her hands.
Oh, I coughed them out a long time ago. Yeah, this is one day out of the year that she's eating out of my hand. The rest of the year, it's the opposite.
Joe's speechless.
I am.
Joe, why don't you come on over and see how it works?
Maybe I can come over and have a drink in one of those little bird glasses.
You know what? Nice little cosmopolitan or maybe a jalapeno margarita.
If you were a real man, you would have bought her a set of floor mats for her car.
Do I know anybody that's done that?
WeatherTech. They should advertise with us the money I've spent with them.
I think so. They should. You know what? I'm going to make a call.
Yeah. I leave them in the box, put a big ribbon around it. There you go, buddy.
What more do you want, honey?
What the hell do you want?
Call your wife, buddy.
Yeah, buddy, that's when I forget her name. Hey, buddy, here's some WeatherTech floor mats.
I got you, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just got some in the mail.
Some weather?
Joe Biden has landed in hot water over a viral clip of him suggesting why people were able to quarantine during the coronavirus pandemic. It's a Fox News story that I dispute. Here's why. He's in hot water only, you'll get to the point here in a moment, but he's in hot water for one reason only. What would that be?
He's in the hot water for taking a mask off or...
No. Social media reaction.
Oh.
It's not news. They're saying, geez, the reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf, Byron is heard saying in the clip. The 10-second clip, which is originally shared on September 29, was just a snippet of comments the Democratic nominee made during a September 15th roundtable with veterans in Tampa, Florida. In the expanded remarks that puts his remark in context, Biden had expressed a positive tone in dealing with the problems the country faces, particularly the ones that stem from the coronavirus outbreak. He said he's more optimistic than he's ever been in his whole career. And they say, well, why in the hell would you say that, Biden? You just talked about all these difficulties. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the American public, the blinders have been taken off, Biden told the roundtable attendees. They've all of a sudden seen a hell of a lot clearer. They're saying, geez, the reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf. Or a young Hispanic is out there. These dreamers are out there. 60,000 of them acting as first responders and nurses and docs. Or all of a sudden people are realizing, my Lord, these people have done so much. Not just black, white, across the board have done so much for me. We can do this. We can get things done, and I think they're ready. Okay, then that conservative groups get a hold of the black woman in the grocery store remark, and they're trying to make something of it. I think more to the point is that comment doesn't make sense.
Right.
I'm not terribly alarmed that he's, although we should be grateful, Biden is the least woke person in America, followed by Trump. They're the two. That's the only thing we got going for us. These are the least woke people in the history of the world. But Biden, you didn't. What do you mean you got to stay home because some gal was stocking the grocery shelves? You still had to go to the grocery store.
Right. You have to go obtain the items.
So the comment doesn't make sense. But it's being jumped on as an example of racism, that word no longer having any meaning whatsoever. And that just sounds like something Biden would say. He's had a history of clumsiness with talking about black people. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black, that type of thing.
That's right.
You know, and back when he was featuring Obama as a prospective candidate, you know, we got us a good one here. He's articulate and blah, blah, blah. And he's always let off the hook. He's always let off the hook. I'm not sure I would have ever let him off the hook for those Biden remarks. They were right out of the Jim Crow dictionary.
You mean, but Obama remarks?
The remarks he made about Obama.
Right,
I would not let him off the hook for that. Yeah, but this idea of we were allowed to stay on, I think he's just trying to pay tribute to the people who've gone to work every day. And
what a way to do it.
Yeah. But it doesn't make sense because, Joe, you still had to go to the grocery store. So whatever.
Well, now, anyway.
Now imagine, I will say this. Can you imagine the reaction if Trump had said that?
Oh my.
That would have been a brush fire. That would have been a wildfire. If Trump came out and said the only reason we're good off here is because black women are stocking the grocery shelves, I think he would have been pilloried beyond doubt. But it's all Joe, and he's going to get away with it. And I don't think news should be driven by social media rebukes from anonymous people who are not shaping opinion. They're not helping at all. Right. And so I'm willing to be able to look at that story and say, you know what, I'm going to make a judgment call here. I don't think he was demeaning black women. If Trump had made the remark, it would have been considered to be demeaning of black women. And I don't know what to do about that. I just don't know what to do about that. We have to address the Project Veritas situation. We've emailed Tom Lydon, the Fox 9 reporter.
I do have a response from him, Joe.
Yep.
He says, thank you for the opportunity. Unfortunately, I'm booked up this afternoon, and he's taking the rest of the week off for vacation, so he's not going to be around.
All right. Why don't we take a time out, and we'll go into that Chinatown episode.
And one.
He doesn't think the climate is racist. It's Joe Soucheray.
We'll get to him in a second, but to quote Chris Miller, the owner of Aim High Construction, MN.com, the GLers have come out of the woodwork and have queued up for home improvement projects with Aim High. Everything from roofs to basements, decks, kitchens, bath. Chris and his crew of master builders, they're going to be able to do any job for you. The work they did around my place is absolutely amazing. The kitchen, the deck, sidewalk, that brand new beautiful AC unit out back, and then all of the little additional jobs that I added on that they really had no idea they were going to have to do those jobs. All of it was done using the finest quality materials available, and everything came in on budget and on time. And from the sounds of it, UGLers, you've filled out his calendar. He's busier than Spencer Grundhofer right now. I know, that's busy, but that's how busy he is right now. Sign up with the very best, get put on the list, and get ready to be happy. The name is Chris Miller, the company Aim High Construction, and the website that leads to home improvement happiness, aimhighconstructionmn.com.
Laban Osman is still trying to figure out how he became a symbol of voter fraud in America. It's insane, said the brother of newly elected Ward 6 Minneapolis City Councilman Jamal Osman. In his first interview, Laban Osman told Fox 9 investigators he was offered $10,000 by community activist Omar Jamal to say he was collecting ballots for Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Laban Osman is featured prominently in a video released last week by the conservative media operation Project Veritas, claiming there is a massive voter fraud in Minnesota orchestrated by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. In his first interview, Laban Osman told Fox 9 investigators he was offered $10,000 by Omar Jamal to say he was collecting ballots for Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. He was setting me up, said Laban Osman. It is clear from the raw video obtained by Fox 9 that Laban Osman was working for his brother's campaign. Laban Osman admits the Project Veritas video footage looks incriminating, but he said the group deliberately left the full context on the cutting room floor. Project Veritas used two separate videos he posted on Snapchat while driving in his car to make it appear as if he was illegally picking up ballots and offering money for votes. In the video from July, Laban Osman said he was collecting mail-in ballots from sick and elderly voters who had requested them through the campaign. Laban Osman denies that he filled out the ballots or altered them in any way. He said what appears to be open ballots laying on the dash of his car are actually the envelopes the ballots came in. He said voters concerned about identity theft asked him to shred the envelopes. Despite his boast that he had 300 ballots in the car, he said the actual number was closer to 20. Well, there's a lot of shady information here, and Laban Osman is just as likely to receive a "we don't know that" as Omar Jamal. It's a complicated mess. We are to believe now that it was a setup, that Project Veritas didn't have a thing, and that they orchestrated it. Because of various court decisions, so-called ballot harvesting, collecting more than the statutory limit of 3 ballots, was permitted during a 5-week period this summer from July 28 to September 4. An attorney for Project Veritas claims Laban Osman's snapshot video collecting mail-in ballots was recorded in early July, making it illegal at the time to harvest more than 3 ballots. Laban Osman could not recall the exact date he recorded the video, but he said he believed it was in late July. That video from July is edited with another video from August when Laban Osman is heard boasting about money in politics. "Money is everything. It's the key to this world," he said. The unedited video reveals the comments were clearly directed at his brother's 11 opponents in the Ward 6 special election, many of whom were operating shoestring campaigns. Laban Osman said he was approached by community activist Omar Jamal, who is a so-called insider for Project Veritas and appears to be their primary source. Omar Jamal, who he had not met previously, told him Project Veritas would pay him $10,000 to say he was harvesting ballots for Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Why don't you give that a "we don't know that"?
We can do
and
that.
I will pause till you do that.
We don't know that.
He said, meaning Omar Jamal, "Why are you defending Ilhan Omar?" Laban recounts. "They, Project Veritas, are not after you or your brother. Why are you defending her? I told him it was insane and walked away," Osman said. Project Veritas denies manipulating or misrepresenting its undercover video and claims it never offered Laban Osman $10,000. "These are wild and crazy and baseless accusations," said Jared Eady, chief legal officer for Project Veritas. "This to me is a man who is drowning in the consequences of his own actions, who is trying to grasp at every possible straw to keep himself from going under," Eady said. In a second report from Project Veritas, surreptitiously recorded video shows a man receiving $200 in pocket money in exchange for his agreement to vote for Ilhan Omar. James O'Keefe, the founder of Project Veritas, calls it an explosive piece of tape. But two sources told Fox 9 investigators the man is a relative of Omar Jamal and that during the encounter outside Cedar Riverside Apartments, it is Jamal who is handing the man $200, which was intended for the family of a sick relative in Somalia. Can anyone follow this?
All over the map.
It's complicated.
It's, yeah.
Money and politics, though, that I understand. I just don't know who's doing what.
We had Omar Jamal on, and he said his piece, and I had prior to that said Project Veritas, in wishing for me to believe this was news, did not provide me enough clarity, and still haven't. And the last I heard, the police were investigating the allegations of the illegal ballot harvesting, but I don't believe anything has come from that. So I don't know what to believe. I believe that the inner workings of the Somali community might be beyond our comprehension at this point because we're not inside that community. And I don't know what's taking place. And I don't feel bad that we had Omar Jamal on because right now everyone involved in this story gets a we don't know that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who's telling the truth and who isn't. I mean, we could bring Omar back on, but then you just have to give him the continuing we don't know that's. So I don't know where we are. Omar Jamal,
right, huh? If I remember right, you didn't really buy into it, did you? I mean, you just kind of listened to and kind of interviewed him, did you not?
Yeah, yeah. I've spoken with him in the past, and he, as I say, he's been a go-to guy because he'll always answer his phone. But he was pushing hard this GoFundMe situation he was trying to create. Remember that?
That's right, yes.
And it turns out that that might have been for nefarious purposes. We don't know. We don't know. I thought it was to defend himself, but he said no, it was to start a new group. Well, it's coming back to me now. He wanted to start a new watchdog group on behalf of the Somali community, and it was his contention that the Somalis are being taken advantage of by the likes of Ilhan Omar and her people. Again, that's a we don't know that. For his part, Omar Jamal has used his appearance in the Project Veritas reports to raise nearly $30,000. In an interview with Somali American TV, he reportedly backtracked on claims he witnessed cash being exchanged for ballots. He denied an interview request. So there you have it. Something's going on in the 5th Congressional District, and I wish the conventional news gathering organizations, well, I guess Fox 9 is making an attempt here, but I wish the Star Tribune, for example, would pull about three reporters off whatever they're doing and say, get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, everything about that district and that race and her and is just shifty.
But we noticed when we discussed this, you know, I said I'm perfectly capable of understanding Ilhan Omar is capable of being culpable. I'm using too many C words. But we don't know that. We don't know that.
We don't know that.
And clarity and evidence was absent in this. Mm-hmm. I don't like those gotcha videos. I don't like them. They leave too many unanswered questions.
They're always, it's bad. They're always kind of grainy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say...
They have the potential of being what we're calling these days deep fakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you say, I know there's purposes. Something going on, I think of Frida.
What's Frida?
It was a song. Her name was Frida. I know there's something going on. God. A lot of drum work.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. He also said he was getting death threats, too. Remember that?
Yep. But we don't know that.
Here we go.
We don't know that.
We don't know that. Lacey Johnson.
Come on, Lacey.
You have our best wishes.
Yep. Come on, Lacey.
You have the best wishes of every GLer in the area, all of whom. Every GLer in the 5th Congressional District, I am confident in saying, would vote for Lacey Johnson. Yeah. The problem is, how many GLers are there in the 5th Congressional District?
Well, there's me and the bride and the kid. And,
yep, there's three.
You got three, Lacey.
That's about it.
Lacey, you're going to pull three for sure out of there.
One of those stories I desperately wanted to be true.
Me too.
But Project Veritas, you know, they got a back story that isn't great. So I was worried about that. So, you know.
Evidence and clarity were missing.
Why would they risk that?
You said that the first day, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, you said there's not enough here to really do it. And a lot of the reporters that covered it did the same thing. Hauser did the same thing on Channel 5, covered it, said, you know, there wasn't.
Well, you know, the sin we're all guilty of then, the sin we're all guilty of is wanting that to be true.
Right.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah.
I did right away. I'm like, see? See?
And the difference, maybe, between GL and other news gathering organizations is we were willing to put the brakes on a little bit. Even though we wanted it to be true, we weren't seeing enough evidence or clarity that it could be true.
But why would Project Veritas put their credibility at risk by making a video or a story like this, knowing full well the Democrats are going to check out the facts, especially if it's not true?
I'm not sure Project Veritas has ever had full credibility.
Okay. Yeah, they've done it several times in the past where it was proven that they manipulated tape, they put things, you know, in the wrong order, added stuff that wasn't actually part of the story.
They did a nice acorn bust years ago.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah. But don't come into town with a secret camera. If you're going to replace the Star Tribune, James O'Keefe, do some straightforward reporting, provide evidence and clarity, and we got a story. But these grainy cell phone videos of a guy driving around in his car, it wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough.
I don't think Lacey even commented on this, did he? I don't remember hearing any quotes from him.
No, because we mean, oh, well, not to us, he didn't, because we had Lacey on before this story ever developed.
Right, but when this played out, I don't remember him saying anything. So
well, who in the media is rushing to Lacey Johnson for comment? No one.
Oh, that wouldn't
He and Kendall Qualls are fighting lonely battles.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, you're right. They don't, right. I get your point.
Two self-made black men with conservative thinking. They're just what we need. And they're fighting a lonely battle. I'm not going to say a losing battle yet. I think Kendall Qualls has a great chance if people open their eyes. And if people open their eyes, Lacey Johnson would be a shoo-in if people open their eyes. I don't know why Ilhan has such a grip on that congressional district, but she's got an ironclad grip on it. Being brand new, she has an ironclad grip on it. It's not like she's been there for years.
No, we know why. She doesn't get anything done. It's what she represents. She's a female minority and an immigrant.
She represents the politics of identity.
Right, exactly.
Which
exactly.
trumps the politics of actually doing something for your constituents.
Right, of which she's done absolutely nothing and doesn't deserve any votes.
No.
But she'll win it because of identity politics.
That's right. And it's a harmful, harmful trend, but we're seeing it everywhere. Identity politics is trumping public service. That's what it's trumping. It's trumping public service. See, there's a year-end sale now on all scooters and electric bikes at EcoFun Motorsports.
Come on.
EcoFun Motorsports on Highway 61 in Forest Lake. Lowest prices and best selection is now, and the sooner you come in, the more options you'll have. They've got the new step-through 24-inch and 26-inch Bentelli e-bikes ready to go. That means it's easy on and off for anyone, and forget the hills. Just push the thumb throttle and get going. Fat tire Bentelli bikes are great for hunters and off-road riders all year long. They can even add studded tires for those who love riding on lakes all winter long. They can put studded tires on your Bentelli e-bike.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah. All remaining Wildside old-school-looking electric bikes are on year-end sale, $14.99. And all Yamaha electric bikes on year-end sale for the lowest prices of the year. New 2021 Yamaha snowmobiles and ATVs are now here and ready to take home. And a huge thanks. Tim Blue wants to give a huge thanks to everyone who came up last month and helped us raise thousands of dollars for Hope on the River. It's the time to get to EcoFund now. We're not done with fall yet. We're not done with riding. EcoFund Motorsports on Highway 61 in downtown Forest Lake.
He reminds you to wait 48 hours to get all the facts. It's Joe Souchere.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. I would like to add one addendum there. Kenny asked about Lacey Johnson. And his response to the original story apparently was, both on Twitter and to several news organizations, he said that he called for the resignation of Ilhan Omar after that original story came out. So
if it were up to me, Lacey would call for her resignation every day up until the election.
For various reasons,
just
right?
For general purposes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough to argue with. Weather alert in effect for parts of Minnesota. By the way, this update brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Store. That weather alert, the reason, dry conditions and gusty winds. Increasing the risk of fires being able to ignite and spread quickly. The alert does include several Twin Cities counties, including Hennepin and Carver counties. On Monday, Fairview Health Services announced it's making significant changes system-wide due to losses sustained this year. According to a statement from Fairview President and CEO James Herford, the healthcare system saw losses of $163 million in the first 6 months of 2020. Wow. Although Herford said the losses were primarily the result of the unprecedented health threat of COVID-19. The virus, in his words, further exposed the profound challenges we face and unsustainable economics of healthcare today. As a result, about 900 positions system-wide will be eliminated by the end of the year. Two hospitals will undergo significant changes, and 14 primary care clinics in Minnesota, as well as two in Wisconsin, will be consolidated into other locations by the beginning of December. Herford said while the decisions are among the hardest an organization must make, he said they're critical to their system's future. If you'd like to see the moves they'll be making, what clinics are closing, there's a good breakdown on our TV Buddies website, kstp.com.
Let me see if I have this straight, John. In order to prepare for the pandemic, hospitals were put on high alert. And then no one came to the hospital because elective stuff was put off the table. So now the hospitals have gone under as a result of not enough people visiting them. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's...
That's a hell of a way to run a state.
Isn't that irony, though?
Couldn't corrections have been made midstream? Couldn't corrections have been made back in June, for example? And saying, you know what, it's not really working out. We're not experiencing the case overload we thought we would. Our projections were a little off. So let's ease up on these hospitals. Instead, they're going under.
Yeah. Everybody has been saying that all along. But yet he continues to do what he's doing, which is kill small business and large businesses in this state.
President Trump staging a return to the White House after leaving the military hospital where he was receiving a level of care for COVID-19.
Is that Wilfred Brimley Hospital? Is that where it
was? No, Willis Reed.
Willis Reed, that's right.
Yeah. Willis Reed.
J.L. Coven had that yesterday, Johnny. He called it Wilfred Brimley Hospital and then Willis Reed.
Willis Reed. He immediately ignited a new controversy by declaring that despite his illness, the nation should not fear the virus. And then he entered the White House not wearing a protective mask. Trump's message alarmed infectious disease experts, suggested the president's own illness had not caused him to rethink his attitude toward the disease. The president entered the White House where aides were visible milling about the blue room without wearing his face covering. He left Walter Reed National Military Medical Center where his doctor, Navy Commander Sean Connolly, said earlier Monday the president remains contagious, would not be fully out of the woods for another week, but that the president had met or exceeded standards to be discharged from the hospital. He's expected to continue his recovery at the White House. His arrival back at the White House did raise some new questions about how the administration was going to protect other officials from the coronavirus. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany announced she had tested positive for the virus Monday morning, now one of about 14 people at the White House who have tested positive. Dr. Connolly repeatedly declined to share results of medical scans of Trump's lungs, saying he was not at liberty to talk about that information because the president wouldn't waive his doctor-patient confidentiality. COVID-19 has been known to cause significant damage to the lungs. The doctor also declined to share the date of Trump's most recent negative test for the virus. That's a critical point for contact tracing and understanding where the president was in the course of his recovery from COVID-19.
Such, are you up in arms about Trump going back to work, going into the White House, exposing all these people, not wearing a mask in the White House? Are you all bent out of shape like I'm sure your CP is?
I'm not bent out of shape, but I think that I'll tell you something interesting. There's a White House reporter named Ben Tracy for CBS. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know Ben. I know his family. Known him all my life. Square shooter. And he said, I felt safer in North Korea, because he covered North Korea. He's really been one of their go-to guys. Young guy from St. Paul, Ben Tracy. He said, I felt safer in North Korea than I do at the White House. And, of course, he was immediately leaped on and ridiculed. But he had to restate his context. I meant, of course, people, COVID-19. He wasn't cheering on North Korea. But there is a feeling of the people around the White House that they are in danger of contracting the disease.
Apparently, It's pretty much a ghost town there right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be there.
Right.
Oh, I think as well it should be. I know you still got to run the country, but you do have to take those precautions. It's, you know, he ripped off the mask last night. That's fine. He was standing alone on the thing, but then he had people around him. You know, so that's why. That's the part where he just goes one half step too far.
Mm-hmm. How come everybody's ignoring the fact that the medical team treating him said he's breathing without difficulty and has normal vital signs? Why is that going unsaid?
Because it's not a story. They want to make him seem like he's sick. It's frustrating because if he's fine, he's fine. Let's leave well enough alone. We don't need to jump down his HIPAA reports.
And when the president tries to encourage Americans to stay strong, and you know how he kind of cheerleads for us and tries to downplay things, and it's obviously he's just trying to tell America that, you know, we're going to get through this, stay strong, we can do this. And every time he does that, he's jumped on by the left and everybody in the mainstream media.
The only thing I know for certain is, based on all we've learned about this illness since March, is that we have no earthly idea right now what condition he's in, because it can manifest itself and linger and take a turn for the worse, turn for the better, turn for the worse. That's what I think is most interesting. We have no idea if he's going to be perfectly healthy again.
What were
the way
you
this
say, John?
Disease works, from what I've read, is he has another 5 days, and he literally could, you know, get deathly ill in those 5 days.
Where it's kind of inside, and sure. Right, I got you. Yeah,
what I was going to say, though, was I'd feel better if he cheerleaded Kenny if last night he hadn't turned around and walked in among all those people with no mask on. He's still contagious. There's no argument about that. Even his doctors say he's still contagious.
I'm with you, Johnny. He should overdo it right now. He should overdo it with the mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
What surprised me about that footage you're referring to is you could see people inside where he was walking into without – they were also not wearing masks. Uh-huh.
I think they feel some pressure not to.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. It's all about optics for him.
That sounds like North Korea again.
He wants to present a vision of strength. And,
but we're sitting here talking like masks are the be-all, end-all, and the only thing that prevents us all from getting COVID, when we know damn well it's not.
Well, then let's stop wearing masks.
Okay.
Everybody, let's just stop wearing.
Well, I'm wearing mine.
I'm in the outskirts. I'm in the outskirts, John, and that's what I see. 90-1.
Really?
Thanks, Mrs. Reavers.
Yeah. I don't see that. Anyway, in a related item, sort of, the White House has decided not to trace the contacts of guests and staff members at that Rose Garden celebration 10 days ago of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, where at least 8 people, including the president, may have become infected. Instead, it's limited its efforts to notifying people who came in close contact with Trump in the 2 days before his COVID diagnosis. It also cuts the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which has the government's most extensive knowledge and resources for contact tracing, out of the process. Any of the closely packed guests and staff members at the Rose Garden ceremony could have gone on to transmit the virus to others. So the White House decisions not to investigate, according to the experts, has potentially devastating consequences for other people.
Can, John, if I may just interject this.
Yes.
You had the story about the Supreme Court or the potential nominee.
Yeah.
Don't we look at how short our attention span is? We've forgotten all about her. You know, she was on, you know, it was RBG, you know, sending off RBG with high honors, which was she deserved it. And then it was on to, are we going to get this done? And now we have the attention span of about a 2-year-old.
Well, the president theatrically being flown to a hospital is pretty dominating the news.
Agreed. I agree with that. But I'm just saying it's funny how it's like these little slots of news bits just keep getting pushed back like a domino.
There are conspiracy theories all over the internet that perhaps that's what all this is about, to get rid of all the other stories for a while so nobody thinks or talks about them. You know.
Wow, that is deep.
Do with that what you will.
President, maybe you could get some COVID or fake some COVID, and then we'll be just maybe slip her under the radar, vote her in, and we'll be good to go. We got it.
Those people that believe that, I have a question for you.
What do you want to know?
Are you?
What do you want to know?
How incredibly, outrageously stupid are you?
We got a big stupidity problem.
Huh?
We got a big stupidity problem.
There's no way that could get pulled off, ever.
No. Biden, meanwhile, having the campaign trail pretty much to himself at this point, made his second trip to Florida in a little over 2 weeks on Monday. His visit, designed to encroach on some of President Trump's turf, even swinging through Little Havana, typically conservative area known for its staunch opposition to the communist government that Fidel Castro installed in Cuba. He's following up with a trip later this week to Arizona. Arizona has not backed a Democratic presidential candidate since 1996. One other COVID-related note, Vikings fans will have to continue waiting to attend a game in person. They announced this morning, Tuesday, that the October 18th game against the Atlanta Falcons will have no fans once again. They had earlier announced the first 2 home games wouldn't. They were hoping they could expand and let a few people in, but they will not be doing that for sure on the 18th.
Patrick go ahead, Kenny.
I don't watch at all. Are they piping in crowd noise for the NFL, too?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick yesterday referred to Johnny Height, the Packer-Viking game that will be at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
And he has a really good point. Vikings fans are going to protest if they allow the Packers to have even 5 people in the stands because we were banned. And I can completely see that happening because we might be getting back to some normals. When are they playing? December?
Yeah.
Whenever sure they play be. Next. But even if they let 5 people, the Viking fans are going to go schizo.
As California continues to burn, Governor Newsom has tweeted, "Don't forget to put your mask on between bites if you're in a restaurant."
Probably not going to happen for me.
How does he get elected? Wow.
Yep. We have a stupidity problem.
Oh, my God.
Going out to eat with members of your household this weekend? Don't forget to keep your mask on in between bites. Do your part to keep those around you healthy. Okay.
Okay, there's Cowboy.
Attaboy, Gov.
Got her, Tiger.
Is he the worst governor that this country has ever seen? It sure seems like it.
Yeah, him and Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah.
Well, we do have some in the South in the 60s that may have been a little bit worse.
Jeez. Right, right.
You realize the state has a fire warning right now? Southwestern Minnesota is in a high alert.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead. This time.
That was my lead story, Joe.
Do you listen to your own show?
Oh, today you had that?
Yeah, that was my lead story.
I have my next liner. He listens to his own show.
Sometimes.
Unless somebody else is talking.
Oh, man alive.
I got you.
Yeah.
Two classic cars stolen in a burglary over the weekend in St. Paul. The second time one of them has been stolen in just over a week. St. Paul police said a beige 1965 Chevrolet Impala and a black 2001 Pontiac Firebird were taken after a break-in at a business property near South Homer Street and Benson Avenue. That Pontiac was one of six classic cars that had also been stolen on September 27th. All six of those were later returned to their owner last week. Police say they are investigating this latest burglary.
So, wait a minute. So he has a 67 Impala and a 65 Impala?
Well, he's got a 65 GTO. Because I'd be embarrassed to say I was robbed again. What are they doing down there? John, get some security, for God's sake.
Right. Yeah.
The Impala that was stolen a week or two ago was a 67, and now John just said a 65 was ripped off.
That's what the story has.
Well, I thought he only had a 65 GTO.
And then the 65 GTO has been ripped off twice.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's Firebird's been taken twice.
Oh, I'm sorry, Firebird.
I wouldn't admit this. I'd be too embarrassed to say, geez, they did it again. This has got some long-time backstory about going on here we don't know anything about.
Is that the same address, Joe?
Yeah.
South Homer Street and Benson Avenue?
Highland Collision.
Yeah, it's Highland Auto. It used to be Highland Auto Body. Now it's Highland Auto Star, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've known the family for years.
I want to get to the bottom of this 65 versus 67 because there's a huge, huge difference if you're an Impala nerd like I am.
What's your read on that? What's everybody's read? Inside job?
Well, I think there's a long backstory. A feud of some sort.
Something's going on.
Something's going on. Okay. You just don't keep coming back to the same place and try to get the cars again.
Right.
Yeah. You've lost me for the rest of the show. I'm now going to be looking at Impala images on Google for the remainder of the program.
We will have a rare blue moon at the end of this month on Halloween.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Two full moons in October. We already had one. You probably saw it the last few nights.
It was gorgeous.
It's
fantastic.
That was the harvest moon, the full moon closest to the autumnal equinox when day and night are of equal length. Normally that occurs in September, but edged into October this first week this year. Also known as the full corn moon or barley moon in some parts of America. Farmers have traditionally made the most of its light to gather crops well into the night before winter sets in. This year, the harvest moon was also the hunter's moon, named for rural practices, this time of hunting summer-fattened animals under the light of the moon, which is brighter and lasts longer. The second full moon in any given month is known as the blue moon. There are seven blue moons every 19 years. It's because the moon completes 12 full cycles of its phase in 354 days, 11 short of the full solar calendar of 365 days. Now, this year's is unusual as it's the first full moon to occur across all time zones since 1944. Although there is a full moon on Halloween somewhere in the world every 19 years, meaning the next one will be in 2039, followed by 2058 and 2077. It was the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic when a group of dancers from the East Hollywood hipster strip club Jumbo's Clown Room realized no one was coming to help
love
them
that place.
Jumbo's Clown
Room. Yeah, love it.
After the club closed in March, they were waiting on a call, the dancers, for someone to, quote, swoop in and take the reins and tell us what to do. That comes from Reagan, the dancer, also known as Megan Ripley. We realized we were going to have to be those people. In early May, one of Jumbo's dancers named Gabrielle reached out to a few of her co-workers and created a virtual strip show. Within 24 hours, they launched Cyber Clown Girls, which has now become a twice-weekly, three-hour show featuring current dancers and alumni from Jumbo's and other performers from the exotic dance communities. Co-founded by Gabrielle, Reagan, Coco Ono, and Kitty the Stripperina, the show has given the strippers a new sense of agency and empowerment, they say. Said, we've heard all the horror stories of pay cuts from being unfair, favoritism, having to do certain favors. All these things are no longer things we have to deal with, which is pretty great. The co-founders take turns hosting and performing at the shows. They follow themes. For instance, there was a Star Wars theme, a Midsummer Night's Dream theme, and a disco and funk
Princess
theme.
Leia, you are naughty.
It features a different lineup of dancers who perform two short pieces in their homes. Some dancers use portable poles. Others make creative use of rooms in the house, cars, windowsills, and apartment corners transferred into a makeshift set.
I looked it up on the it up on the internet just to see what the reviews were. Nice place to have a drink, hear good music, and be inspired to work out. Talented and beautiful dancers, good tunes, and reasonably priced drinks. All favorable.
I found them on Twitter, and they have 110 followers. So.
The workers say it's been good for their pocketbooks and their mental health. The show's also provided an outlet, they said, to be vocal about social justice. Over 4 months and 40 shows, the Cyber Clown Girls have donated more than $12,000 to organizations, including the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, the Sierra Club, and Planned Parenthood. The group would not divulge how much they receive in tips, but admission to each show is $5 to $20. They get that money plus the tips.
I'd rather read.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Miss COVID.
In Great Britain, working for the Loyal family can have its perks. One of them, cheap booze. According to Royal author Brian Kozlowski in his new book, Long Live the Queen, 13 Rules for Living from Britain's Longest Reigning Monarch, members of the royal staff have access to a subsidized staff bar at the palace with dirt cheap gin and tonics and other daily drinks up for grabs. By decree of the boss lady at the top, kicking back with a well-deserved tipple is a human right, according to Kozlowski. If cheap liquor at work seems like a recipe for trouble, it can be. There have apparently been loyal staffers who have overdone it, even on the clock. Luckily for them, the Queen apparently is super chill about the whole thing. Kozlowski said the Queen is said to turn a relaxed eye away from members. In fact, he noted one incident. Elizabeth supposedly found a drunk servant sprawled at the bottom of a staircase. She merely requested to anyone within earshot, would someone please come and pick Frank up? I think he's a little under the weather.
Well, she used to sit around every night and get hammered with her mother.
Yeah, she's probably plowed herself.
The Queen's mom was just a hound.
She was a professional.
Yeah.
So they know how to hold their liquor.
Yeah.
Speaking of booze, the glass fire in California, the destructive fire that's been going on, apparently it's destroyed now or severely damaged 17 different wineries, including Spring Mountain, the small elevated western Avia that had evaded wildfires up until this season. The flames jumped across the valley floor regions, reached into the western hillsides. Despite evacuation orders, some of Spring Mountain's multi-generation family vintners were forced to stay behind and battle a flame threatening boutique wineries. Winemaker Andy Schweiger and his dad, Fred, both former firefighters, spent 32 hours working alongside a Cal Fire team trying to save the property that's been in the family since the 1960s. Fred had planted the vines himself and designed and built the structures on the property. Andy slept in the family's fire engine cab and eventually watched as the flames consumed an unoccupied house at their vineyards. It's the home that my dad and grandfather built together, and then my grandfather retired and passed away in. There are several of the wineries that had thousands of bottles that were destroyed in these fires.
I would imagine that will drive up the price of California wine.
I would think so.
Yeah. There was actually film of one thousands of bottles of their Cabernet, which apparently is quite popular.
You said how many bottles? Thousands of bottles?
Thousands, yeah.
But the wine in the boxes, that's still okay, right?
Yeah, you can still get that at the gas station.
I'm pretty sure my roommates are worried about that. She accidentally left her box old wine up here when she went home. I've been sampling it nightly.
A man who refused to wear a face mask on a Utah-bound flight escorted off the plane in Arizona after he and another man got into a physical altercation. Great. Riley Lansford of Lehigh, Utah, boarded the Allegiant flight in Mesa, Arizona on Saturday, was sitting near both those passengers. As soon as the two men started fighting on the Provo-bound flight, Lansford said she ran to the front of the plane and started recording video. Lansford said the fight began when the man sitting behind her started arguing with the flight attendant after she asked him to wear a mask. He was wearing a face shield, but face shields have to be worn in addition to a face covering, according to Allegiant's policy. Another passenger sitting in the row then turned around and started yelling at the man to put a mask on and began shouting obscenities and other threats. At that point, the first man told him to mind his own business. The gate supervisor came to remove the man wearing a face shield, who then elbowed the man in front of him and said he was the reason he had to leave the plane. The video shows the man in front choking the passenger who refused to wear a mask, pulling his hair, and hitting him in the back.
Jeez.
Luckily, there was an off-duty police officer on the flight. He stopped the fight, escorted the man who wouldn't wear a mask off the flight. The second man was allowed to stay in the plane. The first man is facing charges, and he's going to be in court in the next 2 weeks.
Doesn't it kind of sound like the off-duty officer didn't want to get involved?
Right.
Until
he's got his arms crossed. He's just like, looking around like little Ralphie when Flick.
Yeah, I just want one drama-free day. Just give me one drama-free day.
Trying to take a flight.
Oh, all right, I'll arrest the SOB.
And this is his wife going, get up there. You're a cop. Come on, get up there.
Say, James writes, I think your pushback meter is on the fritz. You mentioned how the limestone cave doesn't really affect you. That's how they get you, Joe, a little bit at a time. I certainly don't believe that a new plaque with the addition of the decoding information is interesting and relevant. Oh, I certainly believe that a new one would be relevant. However, if they're going to say, well, we came first, that really isn't necessarily true. Couldn't easily have been Cro-Magnon man got kicked out of the cave by Homo sapiens. Picture some canned air. Once again, Mayor, just a little bit too late. Well, first of all, he's talking about Carver's Cave, and I did downplay it yesterday. I said, you know, I can't really get too upset about a cave that I didn't even know existed. But the emailer's right. That's how they get you, by not caring, by apathy. But he also said I'm too late on canned air, and he sent me a picture of it's called Second Edition, The Champagne of Airs, and it's from the wild, captured at the source. Ingredients is nitrogen, oxygen, argon, carbon dioxide, and water vapor. So canned air is a thing. It exists.
I wonder if I could capture canned country air when
they're
spreading manure on the fields in the spring and fall. Because right now, let me tell you guys, it's the smell of freedom everywhere you go.
A
bomb, I got to say it right, see, I almost said it the old way, a bomb squad unit was dispatched to Eastern Maryland to investigate multiple Trump Pence campaign signs after reports of suspicious devices on Sunday and Monday. Authorities did not find suspicious devices. They actually found anti-theft alarm systems attached to the signs. The state fire marshal and bomb squad said in a press release on Monday that it and the Easton Police Department found five separate signs in and around Easton with devices described as a small audible alarm attached to the rear of the sign with a removable pin. According to the statement, an audible alarm sounds when the pin is removed. Fire marshal said it appears the purpose of the devices was to thwart the theft and removal of signs. At no time were these devices any threat to the public. The office noted that all signs with the devices were located in public areas. That violates Maryland state law, which says campaign signs are prohibited from being placed on public rights of ways, road shoulders, or medians. Fire marshal's office also said the citizen should contact local police if they find similar devices or any other campaign signs, adding that citizens should never take it upon themselves to remove any suspicious devices.
It's funny, searching the internet, I found the police blotter for Liberal Lakes. And just last week, somebody from Liberal Lakes reported that somebody shot two holes through his Biden sign.
Huh.
I thought that was interesting. Also in Liberal Lakes last week, a tree fell down and is blocking most of the road.
Oh, no.
So that's a problem.
Wow, what are they going to do?
Also,
they're going to stand around and look at it.
The third entry in the Liberal Lakes police blotter, cows are out on the road again.
Oh.
Six calves have been returned to their pasture, unable to make contact with the owners.
Hmm.
So there's the news from Liberal Lakes for you.
And from the Star Tribune, a youth hockey association in Ramsey County are examining their weapons policies after a dad with a rifle hanging over his shoulder walked his young son into a Vadnais Heights ice arena. Law enforcement officers were called to the TCO Sports Garden September 26th in response to a weapons complaint, and a report about the incident says the matter was referred to the city attorney. Ramsey County Sheriff's Department, which provides police service for Vadnais Heights, declined to provide additional details. It's unclear why the man brought the firearm to the ice arena. County leaders and attorneys from the Ramsey County Attorney's Office will meet this week to consider ways to prevent similar incidents from occurring in all Ramsey County facilities. A photo of the armed father and his elementary school-aged son dressed in pads and carrying his hockey stick was widely circulated among parents in the White Bear Lake Hockey Association and apparently caused some consternation. In the letter to parents obtained by the Star Tribune, the association said it's working with Ramsey County to ensure the safety of participants. The association initially said it would ask for signs to be posted, making it clear weapons are not allowed at the arena, but noted in a subsequent letter that Minnesota statute prohibits such signs at Ramsey County facilities. The board said additionally the board is updating association policies to reflect a stance on weapons. The association has zero tolerance for weapons of any kind, according to a letter. Any person who carries a weapon on the premises of a hockey event will be banned from all rinks, no exceptions. Our handbook will soon reflect that updated policy, said.
My son's not getting enough playing time.
So I was thinking, where's my coach? Where's this kid's coach?
What I was thinking is that poor kid, how embarrassing for the kid.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
His dad trotting in there with one slung over his shoulder.
Yeah. John, that's fantastic.
It really is nice, isn't it?
It really was. It really was. It's not as fantastic
today, John.
Not as fantastic as a Philly burger, Philly patty.
No,
that's one of the new burgers at Grunhoffer's. Right. The Philly patty, red and green peppers, onion, Swiss cheese, all mixed together in a third pound beef patty, meatloaf, bacon, sliders. How about a Bloody Mary brat in your Bloody Mary for the football season? The grilling. What a week for grilling. This is turning out to be with the temperature supposed to increase all week long, be in the 80s by the weekend. You got to get to Grunhoffer's Old Fashioned Meats in Hugo. It's right on Highway 61 at the north end of Hugo, and you'll discover the greatness we've been talking about for almost 2 years. In fact, I would say 2 years exactly. We've been talking about Grunhoffer's. It's become GLer's favorite go-to place for the best meat in the area. Grunhoffer's Old Fashioned Meats in Hugo, right on Highway 61, because, of course, GLers own Highway 61.
Can you imagine that, a delicious tri-tip on the grill? Just like maybe your last one of the year, that would be just like heaven, I would call it. Mm-hmm. I would call it heaven, damn it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. All right, we'll be back shortly.
All righty. Come on. There we go.
Treats the CP as if every day was her birthday. It's Joe Soucheray.
Betty McCollum has represented the 4th Congressional District for 20 years. And she's got a Republican opponent. And I, when I heard about him, I thought, well, great, let me look him up. Maybe we can have him on the air on the off chance that we could move Betty off the schneid there. His name is Gene. It's R-E-C-H-T-Z. I-G-E-L, Rhett Ziegel, a self-employed farmer, property manager, and self-taught legal expert. And I went to his website, and it's a mishmash of black and white, color, agate type, drawings, graphs, accusations, conspiracy theories. He's all over the map. He believes space weather is causing climate change and that the Metropolitan Council is a tentacle of the United Nations that must be dismantled. He was not the Republican Party's endorsed candidate, but is nonetheless their representative on the ballot in the 4th District, which includes Ramsey County and much of Washington County. The district has overwhelmingly supported Democrats for decades, but even local Republican leaders say they were surprised by the minimal GOP turnout in the August primary when they cited as the reason Rhett Ziegel defeated the party's chosen candidate, attorney Sia Lowe. With a win for McCollum all but certain, the congresswoman is focused more on supporting other Democratic candidates, from state legislators to presidential candidate Joe Biden. In Washington, she's working on issues like COVID-19 and trying to ban copper nickel mining in the boundary waters. But I wanted to have this guy on, but I think it would be a bit hopeless to have him on. He believes Scalia was killed and murdered because of...
Okay.
I mean, he's all over the map here.
Got it.
Okay.
How's our other guy doing? Who was that guy?
John Strominger.
Is that who we had on?
Yeah, I want to have him on again. Rhett Ziegel defeated Lowe by 316 votes in August when 18,000 people voted in the Republican primary. Four candidates challenged McCollum, but she easily won with 84% of the 95,000 votes cast. Are you kidding me?
Did you say that she wants to stop copper and nickel mining
the
range?
Yes.
You know one of the two most prevalent metals in batteries?
Right.
Right. Which they want to shove down our throats with these cars.
No, it's just better to have 12-year-old African kids get in the mine every day and dig it out. We don't want to do it here, where they'd be unionized and protected and paid well.
Right. And raising families and contributing to the local economy and keeping the whole region afloat. No, no, God, no.
Anyway, I didn't follow up and go to and call him. He might be hail fellow, well met, and good luck to him. But it doesn't sound like he's got a snowball chance in hell of upending McCollum's 20-year reign in the 4th Congressional District. So the Republican Party really doesn't concentrate much on urban America, do they?
No.
At least in the Twin Cities. Maybe they do elsewhere. But I was disappointed that we learned from Jennifer Carnahan that the party really hasn't thrown much weight at all behind Strominger, who's running against that crackpot John Thompson, who probably will win just because his sign says DFL.
Right.
Yeah. It's just an absolute shame. It's an absolute shame.
I'm really surprised that there isn't a major change due to some of the unions, the firefighters union, the police unions.
Well, police are for Strominger. The at least the law enforcement organization in Minnesota is behind Strominger. They can't abide endorsing John Thompson. It remains an embarrassment that the state DFL has not told him to leave the ballot.
Right.
Just an absolute embarrassment. It's just a shame. I hope people on the east side wake up. What, should we get Strominger on again? He said he was improving his speech points. He was developing some talking points. And
it's your show, Joe.
I think I want him on again. I think he's a good man. That's just really, really wandering in the wilderness here, a political wilderness that he's not terribly familiar with. And I think that we should allow him to have more exposure for the great people of the east side of St. Paul. Otherwise, you're going to get that lunatic. And God knows what you'll get when you get the lunatic.
Okay. Had my wife on to tell her about her birthday.
Only because they come to us all the way from Mumbai, India, from our friend Tom Lyman. It's on this date in Minnesota history, October 6th. In 1860, Joseph R. Brown's steam wagon, a horseless carriage that debuted in Henderson on July 4, is permanently mired near Three Mile Creek en route to Fort Ridgely. Brown would build another tractor in 1862, but he died before perfecting it. And in 1972, on this day, James Griffin became the first African-American deputy chief of police in St. Paul. I remember Mr. Griffin. James Griffin.
So you get Griffin Stadium.
No. And on this date in 1929, St. Paul City architect Frank X. Tews died in St. Paul. His last project was the Spanish Mission Revival-style Newell Park Pavilion in St. Paul's Hamlin Midway neighborhood. Charles A. Basford replaced him as the city's architect and finished his work on the pavilion in 1930. I'm having trouble picturing that pavilion. Can anyone picture that?
No, I'm trying to picture where.
I'm not paying attention. I got sucked into these.
Are you still on the cars?
The police blotter here.
Well, we should note that Kenny's in some distant location. He's not in the. He's not near the country's tallest buildings anymore. He has moved to the heartland.
I'm halfway between Liberal Lakes and GL.
Mm-hmm. Well, boys, very nice of you to join us today.
I think it was very nice of you guys to join
us. Complainant is the property owner and has served eviction notices, and they won't leave. Complainant is unsure of the exact address of the property and the name of the person that lives there.
Wow.
Now you tell me, is that Liberal Lakes or is that GL?
Liberal Lakes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's Liberal Lakes. That's not GL.
No, you're absolutely right. And the tree that fell down, I didn't read the rest of the story to you. The last line, people on the scene are cutting it up. So if a tree fell in the road and people are on the scene cutting it up, we know where that is, right?
That's GL.
That's GL.
GL. Right.
That's GL.
Here's one. I think we know where.
Oh, I love this test. I love this test.
Okay, where is this? RP reports multiple people speeding past her residence.
That could be. It could be either place.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna go Liberal Lakes.
Yeah, that's definitely. All here's right. a traffic stop for somebody eating pretzels and driving.
Liberal Lakes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, here we go. RP states party in gravel pit under.
Who's RP, drinking. By the way? Who's RP?
RP is reporting party.
Oh,
reporting
I see.
Party,
I see.
The person that complains. It's easier yeah. for me to say that than complainant.
Yeah.
So RP states that there's a party in the gravel pit, underage drinking, very long.
Oh.
Saw over 30 people there. Permitted event. So the RP has been updated that it's an event that already has a permit. Guess where that is?
That's Liberal Lakes.
Yep. And this one. Oh, here's a tough one. 17-year-old boy fighting with his father at the access, now sitting in the middle of the road and walking westbound, father nowhere to be seen. Guess where that is?
Liberal Lakes.
No, that's garage logic, because obviously the dad just said, all right, you're walking home, kid.
Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, he wasn't doing it to save that gas and save the world.
And finally, truck just pulled into business, no taillights on trailer.
Ooh.
Where do we pull people over for that?
Liberal Lakes.
Yep, you got it. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
And that's all I got.
That's a wonderful contest.
Yeah. That was nice. It felt good.
Thanks, G. Ellers.
Everything okay with you, Suchi boy?
Oh, yeah.
How's the foot?
Your scoots yet? Are you scooting around the house?
Unbelievable. What now, Kenny?
How's
the
foot?
Are you scooting around the house? Did you get your
scooter? No, I don't like the scooter. I'm on one crutch. I don't like the scooter.
Huh. What about a chair? Wheelchair?
Nope.
What about PodMN? Do you ever go to that website?
I love it.
On your computer, it's podmn.com. On your smartphone, it's just regular PodMN. It's where you find all of Minnesota's latest and greatest podcasts. PodMN or podmn.com.
What?
Special shout out to Mike Fradaloni and Fradaloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores. The mums are ready, and it's time to plant some tulips. Pick them up at Fradaloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores.
Does Frad have pain medication for Such? I think maybe Such has a run.
You got to have the secret handshake.
No, I'm good.
All right.